Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good Monday morning to you. Time for Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio. And there is a shot of Victory Monday, folks. Normally at this time, the players would be filling that hallway, going to meetings, to rehabilitation. Today, the players get an extra day to rest. They'll be in a little later for some rehab to make sure that they're being active in it. But a quiet hallway at the stadium in November is a sign of a big win on Sunday. Hi, and welcome to Monday morning's edition of Jags Drive Time. A dramatic, thrilling roller coaster of a win of a ride yesterday here at Everbank Field. We got a lot to get to. John Osher, the senior writer here at Jaguars.com, is with us. And, wow, I mean, yesterday's emotions were they won it, they lost it, they lost it, they won it, they won.
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly they lost it, they lost it, they lost it, and then at the end they won. And, you know, you were here in 96, Brian. It's my experience that postseason runs, playoff runs, very rarely is it 11 or 12 easy victories where you're walking out of the stand. Right. This is one that you got to get.
You know what this was?
You got to get a few like this.
This was the Baltimore game at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore.
When Vinny
fumbled the ball away trying to hand it off to Van Morris back in 96, and the Jags hit the touchdown and the two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. At the end of regulation to force overtime, and then Mike Hollis hit the field goal, but it hit the upright and bounced in. Yesterday's went end over end. I mentioned that to Tom Coughlin as we were walking down the hall after the game, and he goes, "You remember that?" And I said, "We haven't had many Super Bowl wins around here to make us forget the big moments that we have had, and that was one of the biggest." And, of course, it launched a seven-game winning streak. That's a little audacious to expect.
But usually in this league, you're going to get – I mean, they've had their five runaway wins.
You bet.
I expect the way this defense plays, I'll have a couple more. It gets you to seven or eight. Well, as A.J. Boye said after the game, this is an 8-8 league. It's designed for that. It's parity. At some point, there's going to be three or four games where you're fighting, scrapping to the end. Usually what happens is the other team will usually give you a chance to get back in it. It's whether or not you take advantage of the opportunity. To me, this sort of counterbalances the Jets game, very similar game that could have gone either way. A punt went against them in that game, and all of a sudden the field flipped and you lost it. Yesterday, Mark Brunell's sitting next to me, and the entire last 2 minutes he kept saying, they're still in it. They're going to get the ball back. They're going to get the ball back. Even after the second pick, he said, they're going to get the ball back. Minute and 36. So it was never quite out of it, and they kept fighting, and they made it happen when they had their chance.
And we've got a lot to talk about. Now, normally in this moment, we would go to Ashlyn for big things, but I've got a bigger picture story I want to share with you this morning, but we couldn't go 5 minutes without introducing Ashlyn to it. Hi, Ashlyn. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good morning.
This story in particular will be of interest to you because you probably haven't considered it. New to North Florida, young, no kids, not thinking big picture. No, none of that stuff. So pay close attention. Ready?
I'm ready.
Here's the big picture to me. And I found out yesterday how big this game was as I left, as I came off the field, I went out to see my family real quick. And my wife, we have tickets, brings the boys and their friends to the game when they want to go. But in recent years, they didn't want to go, right? Their entire viewing life, going back to about 2010, because they're 11 and 13, they didn't care because the team lost. They'd say, Dad, why do the Jaguars stink? Why do they lose every week? And in fact, at a game earlier this year, they just would rather stay home and play football in the backyard and watch the games on the red zone. So here's a photo of them after the game with Miles Jack, who is one of my sons, and I won't tell you which one, who's in there, favorite player. And Miles stopped and signed autographs and took photos. They were over the moon. They stayed. They witnessed the drama of their team winning, okay, and went home. And one of them ordered a Miles Jack jersey last night. This morning, they were up early, like 6 a.m. early, watching the highlights, looking at Facebook and Twitter, wanting to talk about their team. Here's the big picture. Ready? I have a 16-year-old who's a Packers fan. Mm-hmm. Because he watched Aaron Rodgers while his team in his town was losing. the team for which his father has worked his entire adult life. He's a Packers fan. You can lose these kids if you go too long in winning. In a day and age where a phone provides so much entertainment, mm-hmm. let alone all of the amenities of living in a sunny climate like Florida with the beach and golf courses and things like that, yesterday, that win brought those kids back. And that's what's so important for the future of this franchise in one of the NFL's smallest markets. I cannot. I mean, I could stand up and take my jacket off and go John Madden and tell you exactly what it meant to this franchise to have that group of kids. Well, I might, John. But it was a big win because those kids are just a microcosm of this marketplace that wants to wrap its arms around this team. And yesterday, at a moment where they didn't want to believe, the Jaguars gave them a reason to believe and won the ball game. And I'm telling you, it was a big moment for the franchise yesterday.
It was mammoth, and you could feel it in the fans as they left. I stopped on the way down. I usually walk down the stairs after the game. And I kind of stopped and at the third level, and this was a couple minutes after the game, and the joy of the fans, the parking lot's still full, even though a lot of them left because they didn't believe, but they were still celebrating. You heard the drum line still drumming. You heard people still shouting Duval. It had been too long since you felt that. By the way, what are you starting, a basketball team?
Oh, hey, not all of them were mine.
18 kids in that picture.
Not all of them were mine.
That's unbelievable.
But not all of them were mine. I have three. But I do want to point out that as they were heading to bed last night, they said to their mom, "We're going to the Colts game."
Right.
Their mom's a successful realtor and takes the tickets and gives them to clients. Mm-hmm. Not for the Colts game coming up in December. Those kids are already making plans. Forget the red zone. Forget football in the backyard. Their Jags are playing at Everbank Field. They won't miss it.
You know who my oldest son's a fan of, by the way?
Who?
Jaguars, baby.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you.
Yeah. You know why? Because I told him to.
And he listened.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, for someone who has no kids, she figures that one out.
Yeah, I figured that much out.
All right, Ashlyn, bring us back to center here and get to the big things. What's number one?
Well, winning, of course. They found a way out to win a game they honestly should not have won. Two interceptions with 2 minutes to play normally isn't a formula to win, but Blake kept his composure, kept his head calm, and made two great throws to set up that winning field goal.
You know, excellent point. And John, you know, we've talked about a little of this, right off the top. How about Doug Marrone and time management, mm-hmm. having all three times out
yep.
as you got to that point where the ball was sitting there at the 10-yard line? I mean, all I could think of was they've given themselves a chance by making good decisions.
If you watch the league long enough, you realize if you've got three timeouts, you usually have more time than you feel like you have at the end of the game. And again, it was interesting sitting next to Mark Brunell in the press box as we were watching that game. At no point did he say, "Well, that's it. You know, wrap it up, let's go home," because you still had the timeouts. And even after the second interception, if you looked at the clock, I had my head in my computer because you're rewriting the game story in that situation. But it was 1:08 left when they got it back.
Yeah.
And you realize they had three timeouts. And there's a feeling, and Mark and I talked about this, that's the feeling you've gotten from this defense now, that you expect them to stop it.
They had two takeaways.
Right.
Late in the ballgame.
I guess I had trouble last night. People asked me, were you shocked that they had won? I really wasn't as shocked as a lot of people because this franchise right now with this defense, often it's the quarterback that pulls you out at the end. This defense is good enough, it's special enough, where you're not surprised when it's the defense that pulled it out. And the defense made two plays that should have been game-winning plays. The second one was a game-winning play. I'm not sure the first one wasn't a game-winning play.
I thought it was.
And now that I've had a little more time to look at that play and to hear what the explanations were, I'm sure it should have been a game-winning play.
Yeah.
But that being said, the defense has done special things so far this season. 10 sacks, 5 interceptions. Yesterday, it willed itself to win a game, a tight game for the first time, and that's significant.
Folks just saw, if they were watching this, the last six drives for the Chargers. 16 plays, 20 yards, 2 turnovers.
And that sometimes can get lost when you're sort of in a frenzy looking at the game. That's an unbelievable stat.
It really is. And the point to make here as we get set to take our first break is this defense, when it needed to shut them down. Phillip Rivers made 4 or 5 big-time throws yesterday. The Jaguars struggled to get pressure on him. Of course, they didn't send the house after him like they have some other places. that defense is as good as they could possibly ask their defense to be.
Most defenses, a lot of defenses can stop you. This one can stop you, and it can win. And not all defenses can do that. This one's showing time and time again it can make difference-making impact plays.
We have lots of big things to talk about still. We'll take this quick 60-second timeout. You're watching and listening to Jags Drive Time from Everbank Field on what looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, and why not? 20-17 overtime win pushes the Jags to 6-3 on the season. Back in 60 short seconds. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Tuesday nights on Fox 30 at 11:35 and on demand on Jaguars.com. Jags Wired. Don't miss out.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on this Monday morning. Big thing number two, run. The Jaguars are not the Jaguars they have been all season if this running game does not work. The Chargers did a great job of stopping that run yesterday. Only 79 yards, 3 yards per carry without the fake punt. We saw that firsthand yesterday, guys. Without the running game, the Jaguars are trouble on offense.
And credit to Gus Bradley, who had it dialed in early. Mm-hmm. He's got some strong interior defenders. Brandon Mabane, the former Seahawk, and Denzel Perryman. I mean, the guy was all over the field. It was a ghost, right? An elephant, whatever you want to call that player, that just shadows Fournette. Everywhere he went, 52 was there.
Well, and you've seen the Rams did this in the game out here a month ago. Chargers approach wasn't quite as extreme, but they had eight or nine in the box at many points. Here's the key. The Jaguars did yesterday what you have to do to beat it. Long pass to Mercedes Lewis could have been caught. Long pass to Keelan Cole probably should have been caught. Long pass to Marquise Lee in overtime perhaps could have been caught. As much blame and as much, you know, as poorly as Blake played for a couple of series at the end, you make a strong argument that game shouldn't have been that close.
Right.
That's what they have to do. He threw well enough for 3.5 quarters for that to have been a different game at the end. Doesn't excuse what happened at the end, but it does give you some hope that they can beat that sort of defense if the receivers make the plays.
I guess I wasn't surprised that the Jaguars struggled to run the ball, because I figured that was what Gus Bradley was going to do.
And that's
going
to happen the more teams put guys in the box. It's going to happen that way.
Well, and you're down two starting offensive linemen, and right. Jeremy Parnell is one of your better run blocking, and this is a right-handed team. They run to the right mm-hmm. side, and you were without him.
And he had been playing really well this
at
season.
At a really high level.
Loss.
That running game has to get going for this team to go where it wants mm-hmm. to go.
Yes.
Has to.
Yeah.
Now, that means you've got to throw, but I won't get ahead of myself. Let's go back for big thing number three, Ashlyn.
Big thing number three is throwing. Now, buckle up and get ready, everyone, because if another defender goes in the box like you guys are talking about, it's going to force Blake to make that happen. And, guys, do you think he can make that happen?
Well, it's going to be more difficult now, because I wouldn't imagine Allen Hurns is going to be in the lineup. I mean,
Not for a while.
No, I don't know what it is, but it looked yesterday mm-hmm. like it was going to be some time. So we're going to see, I've been asking, where's Jalen Strong, right? We're going to see him now, because you're going to need right. another receiver on the field. You can't have Jadon Mickens just taking over the role of Allen Hurns. He's a special teams player.
Although
also.
Give him a lot of credit for a big catch in overtime.
Huge catch.
And two weeks in a row, this kid's made a big play.
And I want to give Bortles a little bit of credit there late in the ballgame, too. Mm-hmm. You know, two interceptions in the span of 33 seconds inside 2 minutes, where it looks like you've got a chance to win the game. Kept his head in the game.
Yep.
Kept his head in the game, and that is so critical.
Well, and Ashlyn asked the question, can he do it? I thought for the most part he did it yesterday. And again, I go back to the three long passes. That was as accurate as I've seen him throw the deep ball. I'm not thinking of every game in his career, but I can't remember a game where he threw it more accurately. The pass to Keelan Cole was skim the fingertips. It's hard to say he should have caught it. It would have been a tough catch, but it was not a horrible throw. So,
Jordan Mercedes was on target, too, the one you're talking about. It was a tough catch over the shoulder.
Yeah, and you probably don't expect Mercedes to make that level of difficult catch often, but it's equally hard to put it on the quarterback, I guess is my point.
You're right.
Yes, I think he can do it. Yes, I think they're going to have to do it. I think it's going to be Keelan Cole. D.D. Westbrook has to be better than he was in the preseason and training camp. He has to come in and make an impact. Marquise Lee, you know, I like how he's playing, but you just can't do this. You know?
No.
You like how I do this?
I like how you do
that,
but I don't want to see him. Yeah. You can't excuse the two decisions that turned in interceptions. You just can't. With the game on the line like that, you need more. But, you know, in the third quarter on that drive where he was 7 of 11, I was standing.
Best drive he's had here.
I was standing.
It was unbelievable. In 4 years.
Standing in the corner of the end zone, and I watched as he rolled to his right and paused. Didn't force it. I would have thought his eyes would have been like silver dollars in the past. They were cold-blooded killer eyes as he rolled and put the ball on a dime. And he paused.
And he made a great
pause just long enough to give Marquise room to clear the defender and then put the ball in the only place he could. And then he did the exact same thing on the two-point conversion. And I remember thinking, the quarterback is going to take it to another level. And then with 2 minutes to play, he became Blake that we have seen so many times in the past. But I can't, as much as I can't ignore those two throws, decisions, I can't ignore that drive.
And I think that's the key is you don't want to get completely lost in what happened the last 2 minutes because guess what? 7 games to go, this guy's your quarterback. And this guy, the way he played in the first 3.5 quarters, especially that drive, if he can repeat that a few times, I don't think they win that game without that drive.
No way. Okay? And
so
here's the thing. Go ahead.
He gave you that, and he got you into it. And if he can find that a few times in a couple of games, then all of a sudden you've got an offense. That was as clutch and as big-time a quarterback drive. I don't think there's any quarterback in the league who could play better than he did on that drive.
And put it in context. At that moment that drive started, they had nothing going. The running game wasn't going. Gus was completely dialed in to what Bortles was doing. And so what I thought was interesting was it was as if he got under center to start that drive and said, all right, Gus, you know, here's the chess game we've been waiting for. He won it.
Yep. And it felt at that point, and we've all seen a lot of Jaguars games here the last 3 or 4 years. At that point, it felt like one of those games that was getting away. It felt like Phillip Rivers is taking control of this game like
which
he has so many times. It felt like it was going to turn into 21-6. It felt like all those things. It felt like same old Jaguars. And Blake at that moment was not same old Blake.
Right.
He became that later on, but he needs to take that drive, channel it, and move forward with that and forget about the last two.
All right.
Easy to say.
We will move forward with our final 60-second pause here. When we come back, Ozone Snapshot and a little shameless self-promotion. You are watching and listening to Jags Drive Time on a gorgeous morning at Everbank Field.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Drags Drive Time on a Monday morning. Back here with Ozone Snapshot, and they're all pretty positive this morning, not surprisingly. Our first one, Josh from Savannah. Wow, that was a whirlwind. Not sure I'm quite off cloud nine yet, but boy, was that fun. It only makes me think how special this team could be if they had Chill Phil under center themselves. But guys, they don't have Chill Phil. Exactly.
Well, and I included this one because, you know, let's not lose sight again of what Blake Bortles did. And I understand that the defense had to bail him out, but there were going to be games this year the defense had to bail you out. The way this team was built, if the defense doesn't win some games, then they're not going to where they want to go. This is a defensive team. This is the Seahawks of a couple years back. This is the Bucks of 02. If they're going to get to these extreme heights, which, by the way, they're capable of doing with these guys, then that's the way it's got to be. And, you know, no, he's not Chill Phil, but for 3.5 quarters, he was pretty darn good. And, Brian, this is the kind of game that you've got to have to get there. And I don't think it was that much of a shock that they won that game.
Well, go back a year ago, we were talking about a team that lost close games, mm-hmm. especially in the fourth quarter. I think there were 8 of them in 2016. And who cares how you win it? They won a close game. And afterwards, talking to Calais Campbell mm-hmm. and A.J. Boye and Marquise, they all talked about how it's easier to get back in the film room and look at what you right. did wrong when you have a win behind you. And I take this for what it's worth. You're going to play an 0-9 mm-hmm. Cleveland team on Sunday. There would be a propensity, a natural disposition to, oh, well, that's we're 7-3, done, right? And maybe that's not as broad because Cleveland gave Detroit a game in Detroit yesterday. Maybe that would have focused them a little.
That'll be an element.
But, you know, they're going to sit and watch the film of what they did wrong, and they're going to have a very sharp focus, you would assume, for the Browns this week because of their struggles against the Chargers.
There's a tendency in what we do to always want to take every game and sort of say, well, because this happened, then all of a sudden, this is the statement on the rest of the season. Because Blake Bortles did this, this is what he's going to be.
They can't go where they want to go.
The league doesn't work that way.
No. Nope.
You play your butt off. You try to win however you can. And then you move on and try to do it the next week. The key here, they won. They're 6-3. They're 2 games up in the wild card. They're tied for first. They won it. You figure out what went wrong and you move on. That was a big-time, mature team NFL win on Sunday.
I don't always want to harken back to the past, but just to validate your point, if you remember that Jags team in 96, mm-hmm. they couldn't run the ball.
Right.
Remember, they couldn't run the ball. They were all Mark Brunell, Jimmy Smith, and Keenan McCardell, except that when they got to the playoffs, Natron Mean exploded.
Right.
So you find ways to improve on your weaknesses as you go through. They've done it in the past. We'll see if they can continue to do that as we go forward with 7 games remaining in 2016. Ashlyn, we're back to you.
2017, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monday morning. Here, George, Jacksonville. So I guess we found out what would happen if the Jags didn't get a single sack and the run game was stuffed. Our quarterback and receivers, special teams, and the rest of the defensive unit is just strong enough to eke out a win.
Well, I think that was significant. You know, I mean, if you had looked at – you're taking the score out and just sort of looked at the stat sheet, the common thinking would have been no way. Didn't have a takeaway until, what, 1.5 minutes to go in the game.
Right.
They didn't run. They didn't have a sack. This is Saxonville, right, with the hashtags and all that. Didn't have that. Didn't do any of that. And yet, if you told me they wouldn't sack Phillip Rivers and wouldn't really affect him in terms of getting a turnover off of him until the last play, I'd have told you no way. And yet they figured out a way to do it. And I think it does show that this is a game, this is a team that would not have won this game in the past, couldn't have done it this way in the past. Didn't have to play a perfect game to beat Phillip Rivers. What about that?
I thought A.J. Boye's takeaway at the end of the ball game. Travis Benjamin could have just as easily caught that ball as Boye took it away from him.
Right.
The will to win is really strong on this team.
Yep.
I mean, really, it's palpable.
And that's why it's hard. I get the taunting penalties. I get that you can't do this. But
although you do it well.
I do. But it.
Are you watching, Sherry?
It's hard to completely rein it all in. I guess what I would say is the ball spin that Marquise does, all for it. The this, at some point you got to curtail it a little bit, but you don't want to take the spirit out of these guys.
All right, one final ozone snapshot thought. What you got, Ashlyn?
This one, Jeff from Keystone Heights. No pass rush, no run games, can't handle Boza, untimely penalties, multiple interceptions. We what? We won? Now we're capable of winning close games, coming from behind, overcoming errors, having a clutch kicker, and can win multiple ways. What does a win do like this do for the team's mentality?
Well, I kind of included this because we both talk about it. I think it's unbelievable for the team's mentality. Just like the last couple of weeks showed that you could win without Fournette. Now they've shown they came back against the Jets, but they didn't close it. So now they've come back, and they came back on Phillip Rivers. And as you said, they did it here. They did it where, you know, I think the next time they're down by eight or even down by three with a minute and a half to go, I don't think you'll see the steady stream out the door. It showed that they can do this. They can be this kind of a team. As you said at the top, a mammoth victory for this team and this franchise and this city on many levels.
Well, I think here's what it does. If you go on the road and you win a couple bowl games against the 0-9 Browns and a beat-up Arizona team, I'm not going to get ahead of myself and say you should win or any of that.
I think you just got ahead of yourself.
I think you can get ahead of yourself. Right. I'm not. I'm going slow. I know. I always talk fast, but I'm talking real slow right now.
Right.
You could see this place against the Colts.
Absolutely.
Full. And you wouldn't think with Jacoby Brissett or Scott Tolzien in a bad season, the first week of December, that you draw a lot of people in to see the Colts, but you could see this place go nuts.
They'd be what, 8-3?
Yeah.
You're the one that's ahead of us, though, so well, I kind of rely on you to have that stat.
Well, and you just proved that you are, all too. Right. So they could be in really great shape. That win, forget what it does in the locker room, because we'll talk about that for a long time.
Right.
What it does in the marketplace, what it does for this franchise, it's huge.
6-3, I predicted 7 or 8 before the season. They're far ahead of that. But the goals for this team have changed. This is a different thing now. Now the talk has to be seeding. Now the talk has to be getting there. This is a team that should set its goals higher than it was people thought it would be a month ago.
All right. Players are off today, but that doesn't mean that you won't see and hear from them. Tonight, CBS 47, 7 o'clock, Jaguars All Access over at Avondale's Mellow Mushroom. Calais Campbell will be there with A.J. Boye, the guy who made the biggest play of the ball game yesterday. So stop on by, at the very least, tune in. You can obviously listen to Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco go at it tonight on Jaguars Monday. And shameless self-promotion wouldn't be complete if we didn't say we're here Friday live on TuneIn Radio and on Periscope through Twitter with Doug Marone for our Friday edition of Jags Drive Time. So for John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, and Pat Cavanaugh, enjoy the rest of your day. The Jags are 6-3. Why not?